Our youth group this morning, some our teenagers, walked from about dawn to onwards from Daventry to church. So hands up if you're a teenager amongst that group. There's some teenagers that there are a couple who probably wish they were teenagers but don't qualify on any other basis but wishfulness. Did you have some good discussions on that walk? Did you? Yes, yeah. I think we'd all agree, wouldn't we? Walking is a great enabler of thought and conversation. And having some sense of common activity as you go along without the sort of emotional vulnerability of having to look somebody square in the face seems to open up and free conversation in a way that little else does. And here in this story, and I'd encourage you, if you have your Bible still within reach, to try and keep it open in front of you so that you can check out what I'm saying. But God gives us a vivid retelling of a shared journey on foot, of deep conversation, emotional movement, and in the end, transformation. It's a story that applied to Cleopas and his unnamed companion back then, and it's a story that still applies just as well to us now. Because the Bible, you see, it turns out, it doesn't just tell us what happened. The Bible tells us what always happens. So where are we in this reading? We're on the road to a now unknown place called Emmaus, which we're told is around 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's the Sunday following the death by crucifixion of Jesus on the Friday, his hurried entombment early on the Friday evening. And rumors have been circulating this day that the body of Jesus is no longer where it should be. Cleopas is the named character in this story, about whom we know very little, and of his unnamed companion, we obviously know even less. There's an argument that Cleopas may have been a brother of Jesus' earthly father, Joseph the carpenter. But at this remove of time, we can't be sure. But these two people, whomever they are on that road because they want to get the heck out of there. They've seen the frenzy of excitement around Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem at the absolute height of his prophetic and healing ministry. They've witnessed the joy of the masses who welcomed him as the long-promised Messiah, who will liberate his people from foreign rule and usher in the age of rulership of God's people by God's anointed ruler. That's what Messiah means, God's anointed ruler. But the hope for kingly anointing with olive oil became a head anointed by thorn-torn blood. The hope for raising up in triumph became the raising up on a humiliating instrument of Roman torture. The hosannas of the people became the shouts, crucify, crucify. Everything, every earthly hope that these people had for better times and a better way was shattered. Jesus, a visionary prophet, yes, maybe, but now very much a dead visionary prophet. It seemed with not even a tomb to visit anymore and revere, since his body was reported gone. Some true, very recent, wild, ecstatic claims from some probably emotionally overwrought women, yes, but these are sensible men. Nobody has seen anything that convinces them. Dead people do not spontaneously come back to life. They had seen their hope, their peace, and their purpose die in front of their eyes. And a stranger draws up alongside them and he hears tales of confused woe, but he doesn't sympathize with them. Far from it. He starts to unpack and explain scripture for them, going right back to Genesis and running through all of what we now call the Old Testament. And he says, are you blind? And he goes on. Since mankind first decided that they wanted their own way and not God's rule, since their collective, our collective, commitment to moral decay and disobedience, the scriptures had said time and time again that mankind's moral account with God could only be finally settled through a death. That's what all those hundreds of thousands of goats and sheep and bulls and doves that they've offered at the altar over 1.5 millennia have been symbolizing and pointing towards. And it's mankind's rejection of a loving God that results in their inescapable human deaths. He goes on, but no animal sacrifice, no imperfect human being's death is ever going to settle that account. The moral perfection of a creator God and the moral degradation of mankind cannot, must not mix. Even the most self-deluded humans, when they're truly honest, know we're not good enough to stand in the presence of a perfect God. Humanity was still hurtling without hope towards its individual and collective eternal exclusion from God's presence. The death sentence for rebellion had to be paid, God said. But only a sacrifice of a perfect being could fully pay it. The sacrifice of God himself for humanity's sake. You do the crime, God does the time. That's the kind of Messiah Scripture told you to expect. And they're intrigued. They're heartwarmed enough by this totally upside down version of what a real Messiah looks like to invite this stranger to tell them some more. But are they convinced? Do they really understand that the work is finished? Not yet. It takes a moment of intimacy, doesn't it, for the breakthrough to happen. They're sitting at the table and the risen Jesus performs an act that they've seen him do many times before. Giving thanks and breaking bread. Maybe just like when he, just like the God of the scriptures, performed a miracle to feed multitudes in the wilderness. Maybe when he retold the story of animal sacrifices commanded by God at the first Passover, before he'd broken bread at what we call the Last Supper, their Passover supper, just 3 evenings previously. Now, whichever of these echoes or triggers it was, the effect was the same. They looked at Jesus and saw him for who he really was, for the first time in their lives, as God with human flesh on. They could not look earnestly in the face of Jesus and reach any other conclusion. And the reaction of Jesus then? Well, job done. He disappears now from their presence. They now know who he is, why he came, what he has achieved. They only have to react. He needs do no more for now. So the reaction of the two, their story started with running away. Now they run back to be with their fellow Jesus followers and to share the good news that death no longer has the last word. There is hope. There is peace. There is purpose. And his name is Jesus. And that walk goes on, doesn't it? Today, all of us are somewhere on that same journey. Where are you, I wonder? Are you an anonymous character on a journey to who knows where? Certainly, wanting to get away from the embarrassment, risk, and messiness around Jesus and his followers. Do you have some faint conviction that there might be a God? But he seems to be very far away. Certainly, he'd have no interest in me or in my destination. Maybe you reflect on what you've heard of this Jesus' teachings, the little bits you have heard, and you think, yeah, he had some good lines. And maybe you tell yourself that you'll try to follow those lines in your own strength and when it suits you. But he has no claim on me or my life. And if that is you, how's it working for you? Is it bringing you the supreme hope, peace, purpose that you seek, that we all need? Or maybe you already, in some sense, feel a strange presence walking alongside you. Maybe this presence is saying, see what the scriptures really say about me. Go deeper. Don't listen to foolish, shallow, lazy, second-hand interpretations of who I am. Engage with me. Give me a chance. Will you? If that is you, speak to me afterwards. If you'd like to know how to find out more, I'd be happy to try and point you towards some resources that might help. But maybe you've done that. Maybe you're convinced by the historical, philosophical, emotional, scriptural, just plain logical arguments that there is someone called Jesus, and he was God come to earth. My question for you, for us, for me now is, will you look in his face? Will you even now close your eyes and in your heart say along with one of his friends, Thomas, I doubted, but now I can say, my Lord and my God. Will you hurry, as it were, towards the sound of the spiritual action? Will you head towards the spiritual Jerusalem? Jesus is waiting for you there. You see, for all of us, whatever age we are, the truth is, as then, is it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. Please don't let today pass by if you're ready to look into the face of your Creator and say, with our two long-distance walkers, stay with us. Stay, Lord Jesus, with me. Amen.